Good morning. Thanks for listening in today. Today is a heavy podcast. I am recording this on what is referred to as National Birth Mothers Day, May 13th, 2023. And tomorrow is Mother's Day in general. And that is May 14th. So traditionally, this is a day for adopted people who struggle, birth moms who struggle, and birth fathers who struggle, most likely, and probably many others. People who have no concept or connection to adoption. If they've had a poor relationship with their mother or their mother's died, this weekend can be very triggering in all ways for almost all people if you didn't have that deeply loving relationship with a mother figure. So I want to talk about that in a little bit, but as usual, I want to tell you what's been going on with my week and anything I've read about in the newspaper of interest. I did see that Texas passed a law for gun control that you have to be age 21 to buy a gun. It was 18, and I think that was kind of a surprising pass, but I know the students from Uvalde and other advocates really were pushing this law, and they considered it a positive and a win. So that's a good thing, in my opinion. I am pro gun control. I don't think there's any reason to have these types of A4, AR-14, AR-15s. No. Any large gun that has the ability to shoot lots of people, I think, has no business in our country. I feel like people should be able to hunt. And not other people, of course, but hunt animals. So I do see a reason for guns. I think people have a right to self-defense, but not at the cost of our children and innocent bystanders who are just living their life, and get shot. And it's weird that all of this is, it seems like it's all escalating because this week my daughter was told to stay out of school one of the days because someone made a threat that they were going to shoot up the school at 12:05. Now, this shows you how it's so different than when I went to high school. Of course, we didn't have the internet, and the communication is just so much faster. My daughter actually received a copy of the threat that was posted on social media within minutes of learning about it. That is how fast word spreads. And she was disappointed that she wasn't going to get to go to school. This is her last week, and she had this really fun activity planned that she, of course, had to miss, and all the other kids did too. But I understand why the district shut down school. It was for everybody's safety, and I think they did the right thing. So by the end of the day, that was Tuesday when school shut down, they had apprehended the person who made the threat, and he was a student at her high school. And he did not have any guns. He was just talking, but still, it was, they're going to prosecute him like as they should. And, I'm just glad our police department is on it around here, and the school has their systems, and they did what they had to do. So we were pleased with that. Surprisingly, even though I was very upset about it, our daughter was not. She said this is how it is for her. She's like, anywhere I go, especially in school, I'm always making a plan of escape. So that just tells you the extent of how teenagers think about this. Whereas when I was in high school, and probably most of you listening out there, we didn't have to think about this. Like, it wasn't even a thought in my head. I was definitely thinking about way more trivial things, like the cute guy who's sitting across the, classroom. I wasn't thinking about someone coming with a gun. It literally never crossed my mind. So that was pretty shocking. And for it to be the last week of school, it was definitely a bit crazy. This week, my husband and I have been cleaning and prepping and painting and doing all the things you do before you have a graduation party. And we haven't had to do this since 2012 when our son graduated. And if there's nothing like knowing people are coming to your house for it to light a fire under your ass to get cleaning. So that's what we've been doing. And it's going pretty well. I'm actually pretty exhausted from walking up and down a ladder to paint ceilings. So yeah, it's getting me a little bit more in shape than I otherwise was. So another thing I worked on this week was filling out the application at the Department of State for my passport. Believe it or not, even if you've listened to the first part of my podcast and learned that my father was a world traveler, he had residences in two countries, he studied in the US and then taught in Canada, you'll know that he was all over the place. He was from Peru. But me, I've never had a passport. So I decided that's going to change. And I filled out the application, had a conversation with our daughter to see if she too wanted one, and I'm going to apply for both of ours at the same time and maybe plan a trip to Canada to begin with, and then long term to Australia, where my best friend, who's also adopted, lives. And she's been bugging me for, oh, the whole time she's lived there, 20, 25 years, to get my passport and come visit. So I figure we're long overdue. So I've been working on that. I'll let you know how that goes because I've heard that some adoptees, and both Marilyn and I are adopted, and it'll be interesting to see. Now, I've heard that if you aren't adopted within a year of your birth, that is when they flag you for further inquiry. So, as some of you may or may know who listen, we have two birth certificates, both my daughter, Marilyn, and myself. And I'm not even sure which one I'm going to submit. I plan to submit the amended one, the one with my parents, the one I've carried my whole life. That's my plan. But if you weren't adopted within a full year of your birth, it has been rumored that that flags the State Department to look further in, and they might suspect fraud, identity theft, something. So fortunately, I do have my original birth certificate because I was born in the state of Illinois, and that law had changed about 10 years ago, actually probably 15 years ago at this point. I've had mine for a long time, and I can present it if necessary, but I was adopted within 10 or 11 months of my birth. So I doubt there will be an issue, but if there is, I will discuss it on this podcast to give anyone else a heads up who plans to apply for their passport. That will be a continuing thing to let you know if I have any weird things happen because I'm adopted. All right, this next topic is probably only for women's ears, but you've been warned, okay? I'm going to talk about menopause, and you're going to be like, what? How does menopause apply to adoption? But I can assure you that it does. One of the main things I wanted to know when I met my birth mom is when she went into menopause, because there's very clear indications that mothers and daughters have a similar path on their menopause track. So if a mother, assuming she went through natural menopause and didn't have a hysterectomy. So just for example, the average age of menopause in the US is 51. So I had assumed that my birth mom would, when I met her, she was in her mid-60s. She would just remember the age that she went into menopause and share that with me. Unfortunately, she did not. She remembered nothing. And this week, I've continued to read Lorraine Dusky's book, A Hole in My Heart. And if you want to hear Andie Stanley and my interview with her, I'm going to link that in the show notes. It was a really great discussion. And my eyes have been opened about how much a woman's menstrual life, hormonal life is affected by her genetics, and that information from her mother is super valuable. And I've always kind of felt that, and I was so happy that Lorraine wrote about it at such a level that this is the first book I've ever read where this was addressed, and it's because her daughter had serious PMS, and I had PMS as well. I would go into a depression for 3 days out of the month. I had no idea if anyone in my family had it. My doctor really didn't have much to offer me other than the pill. So the pill suppresses your ovulation, so therefore you wouldn't have those significant drops of hormones at certain points of your cycle. I tried some antidepressants, but none of that worked, and no one ever had suggested progesterone to me, which is something that Lorraine talks about repeatedly in the memoir, that she kept telling her daughter, you just take progesterone on the days that you're feeling low, and her daughter would be so low as to be suicidal. I never got that low, but I really couldn't function for several days out of the month through my 30s and early 40s. Never ever heard about progesterone, and Lorraine herself took progesterone to manage that time of her cycle. And these are the types of things that people don't realize, that adoptees, especially women, female adoptees, do not have this type of information. Like, when did your mother go and start her period? Who knows? When did your mother go into menopause? So I urge anyone listening that is in the age range to need this information to share with your doctor, to call up your birth mom if she's around, or ask her family members what this information is. It's so important to have, and I've never heard anyone really talk about this in the adoption community. So I'm going to talk about it, and I hope to be writing more about it in the future. So let's talk about Birth Mother's Day. I've never discussed this or even written about it because it really turns me off. I'm going to read you something I found about it at nationaltoday.com. I don't really know if this is a great source or not, but it's the first one that came up. So I'm going to read it. National Birth Mother's Day occurs on the Saturday before Mother's Day, on the second Sunday of May. It is mindful to recognize. Oh, it's a mindful tribute to recognize birth mothers who chose to place their children for adoption. This also celebrates birth moms who were victimized and coerced into placing their children for adoption, as they deserve just as much recognition and support. It takes a special kind of strength to grow a human being inside you, bring them out into the world safely, only to place them into the care of another. So it's not just a day for adoptees to remember their biological mothers, but for adoptive families to appreciate the women from whom they received their child. If you want to make the day extra special, check out our gift guide. Okay, here's the history of this day. National Birth Mother's Day was first founded and celebrated in Seattle, Washington in 1990 by Mary Jean Walsh Marsh and a group of other women like her who had to place their child for adoption. They chose to commemorate it on the Saturday before Mother's Day, which fell on May 12th that year, as a way of showing solidarity and support for each other at a time when society was revving up to celebrate the women who were parenting children. This is symbolic in itself because it brought to the forefront women who have largely been ignored by general society despite their enormous sacrifice. Thus, the primary purpose behind this day is to honor those women who may normally go through life forgotten without the special recognition that the world gives officially to mothers. Over the years, National Birth Mother's Day developed into a means to educate others about adoption and the implications it can have on all stakeholders involved, especially in the case of families with open adoptions. Observing this day can help them acknowledge and appropriately express their appreciation for the birth mother of their child. It can also help bring birth mothers together through their shared experiences, fostering a sense of community and belongingness. At the end of the day, birth mothers play a crucial role in any kind of adoption. Hence, it is important for these women to have a day to be honored for their courageous decision, regardless of the context in which they made it. However, this day can also be slightly controversial because it may hit a sensitive spot when it comes to the relationship or lack thereof between adopted children and their birth mothers. It must therefore be navigated carefully and always with the consent of those involved, especially adopted children. Okay, so let's break that down. I'm glad they acknowledged mothers who were coerced. I'm glad they acknowledged that the consent of the quote adopted children, which, it's kind of common knowledge that we never really grow up. We're always the adopted children. So anyway, had to point that out. I have mixed feelings about today because I don't think birth mothers need a separate day from Mother's Day. First of all, I think Mother's Day itself is, I call them a holiday, a Hallmark holiday. That's kind of what I say around here with the family. I tell people in my family, don't worry about the Hallmark holiday. It's not that important to me. You know, I told my kids, I'm like, hey, if you want to just drop off some mulch and dirt, I'm going to be, you know, planting, because that this time in Ohio is the time when you can safely plant and not have to worry about a frost. So that's kind of what I do around Mother's Day. My mom and I have an agreement that we don't necessarily have to celebrate it on the day because, you know, restaurants are jam-packed and it's just too much. So my mom and I agree we'll just celebrate it on a different day and go out to lunch or something like that. And I don't really con I'm not in contact with my birth mom, so we've never really celebrated Mother's Day or even discussed it, to be honest. So back to the article. I think in the concept of birth Mother's Day, I think birth mothers definitely deserve acknowledgement. However, I don't think they deserve to be pointed out on it. I just feel like it's degrading to them in some way to give them their own day. And I feel like it's an industry type propaganda to set them apart from adoptive moms or biological moms, because they are. They're biological moms themselves. And I don't like the idea of setting them apart from every other mom. They can be celebrated on Sunday like everybody else. That is how I feel about Birth Mother's Day. You can feel however you want. I wanted to share that with you all. So let's talk about how Mother's Day in general, encompassing both this Saturday and Sunday, this entire weekend, how it affects people who are adopted. Because this has been such a rough day for me in the past, prior to what I would consider my healing around mother issues. And it's such a triggering day for so many people. It's a sad day. And my number one recommendation to you is just get off social media over the weekend. It's just too much. People are posting everything about their mothers. If you want to honor your mother in that way, I am all for it. But if this weekend is triggering to you in any way, I would recommend getting off social media. Just get off. Just close the laptop, put the phone down, walk away from the phone. Get outside if you live in the Midwest or the East and you're just getting your warm weather. Get outside, plant, go to the garden center, go look at all the beautiful flowers. Buy yourself a flower, buy yourself a plant. That's what I did last year. Go get your favorite food. My son usually gets me sushi because that's one of my favorites. Do something special for yourself. Even if you're not a mother, that's okay. Celebrate you. Celebrate a mother that you're friends with. Celebrate somebody who's a mentor to you or a stand-in mother. Or if you have a great relationship with one or all of your mothers, because I know lots of adoptees who have stepmoms too, celebrate them if it feels right to you. But if this day is majorly triggering in a bad way, then I totally recommend that you do serious self-care this weekend. And maybe journal, write about your feelings. There's just so many ways that we can take care of ourselves when we are feeling bad about something we did not receive, such as being adopted and not getting to grow up with our birth moms, getting to know them, establishing the same type of relationship we would have had they raised us. All of that is the grief and loss that come up on this weekend. And then if we had a bad relationship with our adoptive moms, you know, I know a lot of women in that boat too, that also can trigger. Now, you know, some of us had good relationships with one or all of our moms. And again, please celebrate. This is not a podcast to say, oh, mothers don't deserve recognition. I think mothers deserve to have appreciation every day of the year, not just on a Hallmark holiday. Mothers do a lot, but so do women that aren't mothers. And, you know, maybe touch base with that friend of yours who isn't a mother but wanted to be. I know there's lots of women in that boat. So let's take care of the women in our life every day, not just on Mother's Day. And let's take care of ourselves if Mother's Day weekend is triggering for you in a bad way. So in Ohio, where I live, they're predicting a 20% chance of rain. So my goal is to get some dirt and some mulch and start working on the outside. My mom keeps dropping off seeds and bulbs. I have like a giant bucket full of them that need planted, and I've just been waiting for the weather to calm down because it's been so weird in Ohio, cold, hot, that it's not safe to plant until mid-May. So that's what I plan to be doing this Mother's Day. If somebody shows up with sushi, I won't complain. I love sushi. So I hope you all have a great week and survive this weekend, and let's chat next week.